have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. How y'all? It's Thursday. Again. And you can get involved by calling 888-77-5377-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? Amazing, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you are out and about and doing whatever it is you're doing, and you just got to do it. You want to just stay and listen to the whole show as it's happening, but you realize you're going to be late for this or that. So I got to go. You can podcast the show and listen on your phone. Listen on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Screen Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing, huh? And it's also amazing that it is Thursday again. And Thursday's special, as all days are. But Thursday's special because we love the Bible thumpers, and we want to do what we can to point them back to the right way of being a Bible thumper, if you got to be one. And so it's a little difficult for the Bible thumpers to communicate in a normal way because they have a head full of scriptures, intellectual scriptures, and all they can do is quote the scriptures. So we say, you know what? We need to have a little more time for the Bible thumpers. And so Thursday is and will always be Bible Thumper Thursday.
All right, brother. Are you ready?
He's drunk as a bastard.
He's drunk as a badger.
A badger.
Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
Fire. amazing. If anybody asks what's the matter with me, tell them I'm saved and sanctified and running for my life. What the? A spiritual battle. And so I have a question for my two experts here, the Hake of the Hake Report, Monday through Friday from, they don't even know if I was going to ask them of the experts. And that's one thing I like about the experts. They are so smart and so ready all the time to be experts. You don't even have to let them know in advance what the subject matter would be about. They already got it. They are one with the Lord. And the Lord is one with them. So the Hake of the Hake Report right there, Monday through Friday, the white guy, he white, from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And over to my far right and your far left, the American Anchor Baby, from 11 to 1, Monday through Thursday, and at 12 on Fridays. And an expert here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show as well. So, good morning, experts, again.
Good morning.
There's been a lot of talk lately about raising children. And it is quite apparent to everybody on the planet, and especially in America, that children on every level is not being raised right nowadays. And we really see it in the black community, but in black people, black families, but not only. We see it in pretty much all families now, except that most families are not as rowdy and mean and just physically destructive, fighting everywhere and carrying on as the black children are. And so there's been a lot of talk about that. Nowadays, parents, especially mother, let their boys or girls live together in their own home. They're like teenagers. They sleeping together in front of the mama, everything. It's just all out of control. And so my producer, let me first ask, and then I'll give you the scripture. What is the primary problem with the way parents are raising their children or not raising them today? You're the expert.
I am an expert.
And what's the primary problem? What's the primary reason? Or what is the problem that parents are not raising their children right today?
Interesting question. The primary problem that parents have, the primary problem with parents who are raising their children wrong today, is they get ideas in their head, and that blocks them from having like godly common sense in how to deal with their kids. They will preach at their kids, and it's so phony. Or they will get an idea that, I just need to just let them be. Or they will get, like what you said about letting them be at the home and acting out. At least they're at home doing it, rather than on the streets. They get different ideas in their head, and they go with those, rather than, like I said, common sense.
And this is when we talk about children and parents, we talk about religious parents and non-religious parents, secular parents, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. most parents don't know how to raise their children today.
It's funny because we know kind of what's right.
Kind of.
We people. Yep. But you get separated from what's right, like in the moment, and go along with something that's totally not right, and you feel like you're stuck in what's not right. Parents or anybody.
And what do you say the primary reason, Anchor Baby, of the American Anchor Baby show Monday through Friday at 11 to 1, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday at 12. What is the reason that, and again, we've been talking, and I see it everywhere now, a lot of talk about the riot that the black children are carrying on daily now, and then the paralytic kids sleep with their boyfriends and stuff in their homes, and the kids are not ashamed of it or anything. And we're talking about religious parents, Christian, non-Christian, Allah Abba parents, Jewish kids, parents, secular parents, Republican, conservative, Democrat, liberal, it doesn't matter. What's wrong with the parents that they don't know how to raise their children today?
Yeah, I believe one of the primary reasons is they have no wisdom or maturity in understanding what emotions really are and that whole world. I know this because I know what it's like to not know that and to not know that emotions are evil and a number of things. You know, one of the signs of this is you see these young children, they all have iPads, and they talk about how they get crazy if they don't get their iPad. That's a funny example, but it shows how the generation before without the iPad, they would have to go through it, whatever emotional problem.
Yeah.
And maybe they learned something, but now you just stop it. You just give them an iPad. They have no, like, understanding of them, of what's going on inside of them. They justify, they call anger good. I think that's one of the primary things. That's why you see these people acting out teen takeovers at the graduation. They're expressing their inner chaos.
Interesting. Did you want to add to that or anything? Your shirt said Hurley. I was looking.
No endorsement implied.
Right.
It does say that.
Oh.
Yep.
That's like a hurricane coming.
I think it's a surf brand or something.
Oh, I see.
It's a white person's T-shirt.
Evidently.
Like, I know a father who, his mother yelled like heck. Yelled like heck. At his younger siblings. And then later at his dad. And he didn't want his wife to be like that. So he decided, if anybody's got to be the bad guy, I'm going to be the bad guy. And so that's like an example of like getting a crazy false value just to come up with a solution that's not the real solution to the problem.
I do notice that what do you call my generation of parents? Boomer.
No, you're a boomer. I don't know, the silent generation or something?
Oh, I see.
I don't know my generation's past boomers, really.
Before me, parents, they really knew how at least take time to raise their children. But I noticed where my generation, and not all, but my generation and all the generations after me do not know how to raise children at all. As a matter of fact, they so do not know how to raise children. They send their children out to experts, so-called expert out in the world, and tell them how to raise their children. Oh, you need a counselor, or you need a therapist, or you need a life coach, or you need this, because they don't know how to do it, the mother or the father. Jared said, the generation before me, it's a silent generation. Born between 1928 and 1945. What does that mean, silent? They weren't talking?
I'll ask the AI.
Oh, I think Lord. It has to do with the war.
The war?
Why they war were so silent.
War is not the answer.
Unlike the vocal and rebellious generations that preceded and followed them, they tended to keep their heads down, avoid public confrontation, and work within the system to ensure stability.
Nice. Okay. So it is Bible Thumper Thursday, so hey, you first. Respond to this. What does this mean? This scripture mean? My producer gave me these this morning. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. What does that mean? How do you do something like that?
Boy, oh boy. Well, the way that a child is trained up, whether it's good or bad, the child, the man or woman that the child becomes is kind of stuck like that. And so that's for better or worse. He won't depart from the way that he was raised.
So how do you train a child up in the right way he should go?
I think if...
this one's easy.
I think if you... if you have... If you...
You want me to come back to you?
No.
For me and Coach,
no.
Easy. Huh? No, go.
Okay, if you...
Jared said, take your time, hey, LOL. My producer.
It was funny because I was laughing at Derek responding to you because you were asking him this. How? I was like laughing.
Not a laugh. Laughing's on you.
Okay, if you're... what you should be as a father or a mother and just as a person. And then you deal with the kid right. not being frustrated at the kid, being a frustrating kid. Then the kid will see the light, and once this kid sees the light, it'll be like, oh, that confirms what I know already, because the kid can kind of knows right from wrong, and it'll be easier on the kid, the child, because what he's getting from the parents confirms what he already kind of knows is right, and then he won't be as easily fooled by the world to depart from the right way. That was stressful, but I think I did a pretty good job.
Proverbs 22:6 says, Anchor Baby, train a child up in the right way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. What does that mean? How do you do that?
Yeah, that's just a commentary on human nature. On how what you do, what you're trained to do young especially, you'll just end up doing often. It'll be hard to not do. That's really all it's talking about, whether it's right or wrong, whatever you teach them. And let's say you're a parent, you're like trying to teach them one thing, but they end up a different way. That's because that's what they were really being trained in. That's all it's talking about. And it's saying, and how you do it?
Yeah, how do you train a child up in the way he should go?
Early and often.
But how do you train them, though?
In whatever way it is. What? But you do it early and often.
When you say early, what do you mean?
Young.
And often, you mean what?
You reinforce.
But you train them how?
By doing what you're trying to train them into a lot. whether that's love or hate.
And then Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hate his son. Whoever spares the rod hate his son. But he who love him is diligent to discipline him. What does that mean?
It means I'm a liberal. I'm like, what? Bible? No. No, I'm playing around. My emotional sensibilities aside, it's talking about how and really what I'm talking about is the fear. You get this fear maybe to discipline. You're like, wow, I should say the truth here. I should tell him he's wrong or something. Doesn't always mean like hitting or something. And you're afraid of doing that. You spare the rod. I'm thinking it's not always hitting them with the rod, maybe. If you spare that rod, you hate them. It's like when you know, it doesn't say in the Bible even evil people give their children gifts. Like anybody does that, but where's the guidance? Where's the discipline?
So spare the rod. Whoever spares the rod hate his son. He who love him is diligent to discipline him. And you said that means what?
What it says, which is what every person who doesn't quite get the Bible says, I notice. But it says to if you're too afraid of saying the truth of what's wrong with your child or something, which is in this case disciplining, like it says in the scripture, then you're not showing them love.
So when it says spare the rod, what is the rod?
Discipline. And saying, and just like, not necessarily actually a rod, I'm saying.
Right.
But correction. That's the word I'm looking for.
But you don't necessarily mean to whoop them.
Right.
Okay. Hey, Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hate his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. If he love him.
Nice.
What does that mean? He who spares the rod.
That means if you don't establish an order of like consequences for when you do a wrong and carry out those consequences. Whether it's a beating with a rod.
You told Hoppo to beat me.
Justified beating. You have to discipline yourself too. then the kid is going to go into society and be it's showing a lack of love to be nicey nice or to be lenient. It reminds me of the liberals who don't want shoplifters who steal under $1,000 to go to jail. There's a whole lot of rod sparing on and treating grown men and women like spoiled children in society, and it's a mess.
Well, a mess! Here's an example of not raising your children the right way. Or what happens, and it's just one big example, but there are a whole lot of small examples of not raising children in the right way. From my producer telling me it means ignoring a child's bad behavior or sparing the rod. But here's an example Fox 2 is reporting. This is from Fox 2. A community's outrage followed a violent arrest of a 16-year-old student by a police officer at Fairfield High School on Wednesday. Watch this from Fox 2 and ABC 10.
For you. All right, now to Fairfield, where a community is outraged tonight following the violent arrest of a student at Fairfield High School. His family joined students at a rally to protest the officer's actions and call for justice.
The student's family and supporters are demanding justice, accountability, and the firing of the police officer. The family of the Fairfield High School student beaten by a police officer has identified him as Maurice Williams. They say the 16-year-old is now recovering from mental and physical trauma from the violent encounter on Wednesday afternoon. Police say they were responding to a physical fight that broke out among multiple students at the high school.
Fairfield police say officers were responding to multiple fights on campus and believed a student may have been reaching for a weapon inside a backpack. As they said, a screwdriver was found in a confiscated bag. The department says officers used what they called, quote, distraction strikes while trying to handcuff Williams. His family says there's no justifications for what they saw.
We're here because we want answers.
The family says they want accountability from the city against the officer.
Decertified.
Nowhere.
Decertified? What's decertified? A loved one says the police responded to a fight. The loved one says the police response to a fight among students does not justify the officer's action. Watch this.
The encounter has gone viral on social media, and loved ones say the police response to a fight among students does not justify the officer's actions.
There should be no way he should have been beat like that and pulled by the hair like that.
Justice for Maurice! Justice for Maurice!
For a second consecutive day, students held a protest on campus to stand up for Maurice. One woman says her daughter witnessed the incident.
We will not stand for it. It's not okay. And the police department should take that as a message.
He did not deserve to be brutalized like that. I want accountability, justice, and for the people responsible to be held accountable for what they did to my child.
That bothered me to see my grandbaby land there.
Not my grandbaby.
Getting beat like a dog. Hair pulled.
Getting beat by a hoppo. Which is worse? The fight that they was having, according to the report, or the police stopping the fight and the person getting beat. Which are they most upset about? The Fairfax Police Chief Dan Marshall apologized and confirmed the office involved has been reassigned. Watch this from Fox 2 San Francisco and ABC News.
Again, Fairfield Police Chief Dan Marshall says a third party will conduct an independent investigation, saying in a quote statement, "I am sorry this incident occurred and that it has caused division and concern within our community. The Fairfield Police Department values its relationship with the community we serve, and we remain committed to maintaining and strengthening that trust moving forward."
Our San Francisco station, KGO, reports the female officer seen in part of the video was also seen last year pulling a teenager out of a car by her hair to arrest her. Some residents claim these incidents reflect broader concerns about police practices in the area.
What a mess! And so these quote-unquote protesters, they show up when the police have to stop the fight, but they don't show up when the kids are fighting at school, in the streets, and everywhere. Why don't the parents show up then? Oh, ain't no money in that? I'm sorry, what'd you say? They can't accuse of brutality and all that? I'm just wondering. I don't know if they try to get money from these police or whatever, but it's interesting that they don't show up when these people are fighting, but they can show up when they want to protest the police. I'm just saying. 888-7753. 773, a quick break. I'll let my experts respond to that and then your phone calls. Back in a moment. Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee. Welcome back. 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. It is Bobby Thumper Thursday, and dealing with how to raise children, because it's apparent that it doesn't matter if you're religious, non-religious, all religious, secular, Democrat, Republican, conservative, Christian, non-Christian. Parents don't know how to raise children anymore. And it doesn't even matter the color. They have lost the touch of how to raise children. So we were talking about that in the first hour there. A couple announcements. Don't forget to like these videos. Like the video. And the Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. The Hake, HAKEReport.com, from 9 to 11 a.m. And after the Hake Report, the American Anchor Baby, the American Anchor Baby, from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And check out Punchy.tv. Punchy.tv with Bill. Brand new episode is there. You can podcast it. Bill at from Punchy.tv. And last but not least for now, brand new episode tomorrow, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, of TheFallenState.tv. TheFallenState.tv. I had a very interesting discussion with Dr. Shay Hong. Hong. Whatever. A-H-N. How do you pronounce that?
On.
On. On. He's an evangelical pastor and is running for governor of California. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
So you're running for governor of California.
Yes. The Democratic Party has taken God out. Here I'm a pastor in California, and when I decided to support Trump, people walked out on my sermon. And they're all women.
Oh, of course.
They're all going for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I ended up suing Governor Newsom for locking down the church. He had abortion clinics open, marijuana dispensaries, and liquor stores. This is in the United States.
United States of America.
This is not China.
That's right. Amazing. The Fallen State, tomorrow, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And you should support the Fallen State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or jesselepeterson.locals.com. We played a video there of in talking about how to raise children, where the police officer were accused of breaking up a fight, but in a violent way, they call it. And the parents showed up protesting that, but they don't show up for the children fighting ever. How do you respond to that video?
Um, It looked like they were female police officers.
Yeah.
Female police officers.
Mama showing up.
Yeah. They're weaker. They have to do more. And they're also angrier, perhaps, or not necessarily angrier, but they just have to rely on that extra viciousness to get that oomph that the police need. So, from what I saw, and I wasn't looking closely, I didn't see anything that bad, really. To the layman, I often say, police work, manly work, even if it's a woman carrying it out, it looks rough to a layman. And shame on those parents. They should be hiding their faces, not literally, but a white parent, let's say, would be hiding their face at how bad his kid is, maybe, rather than blaming the police. You know what I mean?
Amazing. And you say anchor baby?
Shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah, it's like they have no chance of the parent that's just going to say there's nothing they're doing. They're sparing the rod. They're telling they're not doing anything wrong. They're fighting, bringing weapons to school. You know, when other black students know this. I've seen videos of this. When a black student reaches into their backpack like that, the black students run. The white ones, they just sit there like, what's going on? Because they know what's up. Anyways,
wow. I mean,
it's just crazy that you could just do all that and then say, I'm doing nothing. What's the cops is punching you because you're bringing weapons. It's a rationale.
The parents seem more angry at the police for stopping the fight than they are with the children for fighting.
What you doing with this screwdriver in your backpack, Trayvon Martin? Crazy.
Did he have a screwdriver?
Yeah, he was caught with a screwdriver, according to reports.
Amazing. What a mess.
Described as a burglary tool. It wasn't necessarily a weapon in this case.
Later in the show, I want to ask you guys about the Pope. The Pope doesn't seem too happy with AI. Mm-hmm. And so he made a statement about that. As we move forward to this morning, I want to ask you about that. Let me go to Josh out of Georgia. Georgia, on my mind. Josh, you are on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin.
Hey, Josh.
All right, I was calling to answer the biblical question.
Has the Christ resurrected in you?
My first thought when I heard this was no. And it feels like no, but you know, the more I thought about it, I realized I'm not 100% sure what it means. And so I'm going to just leave it as a blank. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
My final answer, yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
All right.
What does it mean? Good. We're discussing Proverbs 22:26, and we're talking about how parents don't know how to raise children anymore. And
right.
This is all parents. What does it mean, train a child up in the way to go, and he should go? And train a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he would not depart from it.
Yeah, I think it just means to be the example of what the kid should be. Because I think, like, my parents were kind of, well, they disciplined me pretty hard, but I don't think it really. It just made me very willful, which isn't good, you know.
So did they spare the rod?
No, they didn't spare. They didn't spare the rod with me. but they did it with anger. So
and so when they didn't spare the rod, that just made you worse. They used the rod, and it didn't work on you.
It didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work.
And why not?
Because it made me ambitious, and you know, the world would say it worked. You know, I turned out. I don't. I don't think it's, you know, in the worldly sense, it made me, you know, disciplined and ambitious, and but spiritually, it didn't help me.
So Barbara said to whomever spares the rod, hate his son. Whomever loves his son is diligent to discipline him. So your parents did not spare the rod, right?
You know what? They tried. I mean, they did not spare it.
It meaning that they would whoop you and things like that? Do you mean
Yeah. I was very disciplined. And it still somehow failed because I guess they had anger within. They weren't being the example.
Oh. And so, And so they didn't show love by disciplining you?
Ultimately, no. But they did the best they could. And I think they just didn't know that even though they meant well and tried, they, you know, they had to be it. They had to do it. I would follow the example of what they are.
Okay.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Amazing.
You know, because people think if you grew up in a, you know, I grew up in the suburbs in a two-parent household, and people think that automatically I'm better off than someone who grew up in a hood or in a single-parent household.
Yeah.
But that's not true. That's not true, yeah.
And you're black, right?
Yeah.
And you grew up in the suburbs?
I grew up in the suburbs, Beaver Cleaver style.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate it, Josh. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, man.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it. Yep.
888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Matthew out of Pennsylvania. Matthew, you are on the air.
Jesse.
Hey, Matthew.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you again. I called a couple of days ago and told you a little bit about being attacked in downtown Pittsburgh.
By some teenagers?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember.
As far as I could tell, I didn't get their IDs, so...
Oh yeah, you were in a, if I remember correctly, you were in a store or something, and they came in and they was trying to steal or something.
Yep.
And you yelled at them and told them to get out, and instead they jumped you outside and beat you up.
Yep.
Okay, I got it now. Go ahead.
So to me, like the president Donald Trump, the Great White Hope, I love him, but we have domestic terrorism going on right now. We have these teen terrorists who are shutting down cities and making it so if people don't feel safe, like they can just walk out in the middle of the day, go to the store or be out with their family without having to worry about seven kids dressed in all black, looking like ninjas, and, you know, there's no reason to be wearing a balaclava when it's 80 degrees out. So, anyway.
So, I'm being told that we have a clip from your situation from WPXI. Let's put that in it. Oh, you don't have it yet. Derek told me you do have it, but we don't have it.
No, I know, but he used to tell me the number. Let me just communicate with him.
We'll come back to it. So are you afraid now?
No, I don't have any fear.
And so did you know that there was a news clip on that?
I mean, I called the news. I did the interview.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's interesting, man. Let me know when you're ready to play it.
I'm ready. My bad.
I do want to say one thing.
Yes.
In the clip, they say that I was beaten by the teens,
right,
but I was not beaten. I got pushed to the ground, and they were stomping my head and surrounding me, but at no point did I lose consciousness or give up fighting. They didn't beat me. I never tapped out.
But if you were throwing down and kicked in the head and stuff, that's beating.
They didn't beat me. They assaulted me.
Okay.
So I'm not beaten.
So hidden is another word that means beating.
Whatever. I'm not beaten. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about these kids. Okay. They're not going to terrorize me.
How about battered?
Okay, battered.
Okay, here's that story from WPXI.
Well, a man says he was attacked in downtown Pittsburgh by half a dozen teenagers. Now, before heading to breaking news, Channel 11's Lauren Talata spoke to the victim and has his message to the teens who beat him.
I've lived here for 10 years, and this is the least safe I've ever felt.
These images, taken by a bystander, show the moments a man who didn't want to be identified tried to escape from a group of teenagers who attacked him.
How are we going to fix this problem in America? How are we going to allow this to happen and be terrorized by teens?
The man told us he was in the 7-Eleven on Penn Avenue Saturday afternoon when the group walked into the store.
I noticed that they were all going to the back, and they started stuffing stuff in their pants. And I said, hey, stop that. Don't, like, put it back.
That's when the victim says the teens surrounded him, punching, kicking, and threatening him.
I ran across the street and got pushed to the ground, and they started raining fists and feet and shoes all over my head.
He was able to get away and call 911, then took himself to the hospital.
I went to the ER to get a CAT scan because they were kicking me in the head, and thankfully there was no brain bleeding or traumatic injury. But, you know, I don't think that's an excuse. I don't think the fact that I didn't die means any less.
He has since filed a police report and hopes the teens are held accountable, sharing this message for his attackers.
I do forgive them, but I think that the judge should instill harsh penalties, make an example out of these kids.
Now, Pittsburgh police say they are still working to identify the four juveniles who assaulted the man.
Wow, Matthew, that's crazy that that happened to you.
Happy Memorial Day. Thank you to all those that served and gave their all so that we could be here. I want to honor them. A lot of my family's in the military, but I have not served, but I do appreciate all the people that made that decision, and I thank them for it.
And so now that that has happened to you, do you change the way you walk the streets now or go to the market? Are you, like, more aware? Are you, like, do you carry the Second Amendment or anything?
No, so I guess I'll say two things. I'm not a woman. If you do a search online about the way that men walk down the street and women, like, where they're looking,
yeah.
Women are like prey animals. They're, like, looking around all the different corners. And men, they look where they're going. So notice a little bit, feeling like a prey animal. I got to keep my head on a swivel and look out for folks, but I'm a man. I walk with my head high.
Right on. And these people were black.
Yeah. Big surprise. Like, what?
What a mess.
What a mess. Is that a hate crime? If six black teens attack a white dude?
Yes, that's a hate crime. Had it been the other way around, it would definitely be called hate crime right away.
Well,
if white people white kids had done that to a black man, it would be called hate crime before you can hit the ground.
Yes. Well, and to your point, would I carry a firearm? I mean, I'm a smaller dude, so I do need a force multiplier, and it would probably be a good idea for me to arm myself. But if I had a weapon, a gun in this situation, the laws change a lot. So yeah. I would have a responsibility not to put myself in that situation. And if at some circumstance a bunch of teens surrounded me and stomped me to the ground and I had a gun on me and there's six of them, then yes, you can kill them. But I'm in Pittsburgh. Memorial Day weekend, I get attacked and jumped by a gang of predators, and I kill one of them. But I'm white, and they're all black, so the city riots because and it's against me.
What a mess!
So I don't know if that's
man.
Like part of the calculus I have to do when I'm trying to defend myself. But it's like, yeah, I don't want people to make this seem like I'm racist because racism isn't fucking real. Sorry, excuse me.
No, it's not about racism at all, but this is pure hatred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a mess. And so any update, have they found any of these guys or caught any of these guys at all?
I gave the detective a copy of the surveillance video inside of the 7-Eleven yesterday,
okay.
And there's amazing footage of all their faces. So if, like, I forgave them. I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I don't want money from them. I don't want to make them suffer or anything. I don't want it to happen to anyone. I don't want it to go on anymore. So I'm calling the governor, the mayor, the senators, the news. I'm calling everybody that I can. I'm not going to take this lying down.
But you do want them to go to jail, right? Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. But you,
what are you talking about, man? They're juveniles. They're not going to jail.
So you don't want them in jail?
Do some community service. You want to know what I want?
What?
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
I have five stipulations. So the first is I want a 5,000-word essay written in cursive on the quadratic equation. The second is I want a home-cooked meal at each one of their houses and get a chance to meet them and their families. I want them trespassed from every 7-Eleven in the United States. I want restraining orders on each one of them so that they can't hang out with one another or talk to each other online or whatever. And my last stipulation is I want them all to consent to mutual combat. Consecutively, I'll fight each of them in front of their friends and family, and we'll see if they're as strong and brave as they are one-on-one as when it's six-on-one.
That's amazing. So,
that's what I think. I think it's better than community service.
Wow. Well, they do have juvenile hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a jail?
Yeah, it's like a training center for criminals. They go there and learn how to be better criminals.
That's right. Wow. Well, Matthew, I wish you well in this situation, man. There's something else, seeing it on that report, even just hearing about it from you, but to see what was going on, that's even, it's crazy, man.
Well, if I get an update or if I get another news story with a little bit better footage, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But God bless you. You lift my spirits, and I can't thank you enough for everything. You allow me to live my life without anger, without fear, and your teaching and leadership is very appreciated, even though I don't have any leaders. Thank you for showing me the way to peace.
You're welcome. You stay with it. It's crazy watching that video and seeing a quarter to the video of your testimony. These people are acting like wild animals, like wild animals hunting down food. It's just crazy to see human beings attacking one another in this manner. It's insane. It's evil.
Not my America. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going to stand up.
Right on. Amazing. Well, keep me updated on it, all right?
All right. God bless you.
You too, buddy. Thank you. I got to take a break. 888-77-JESSE. And when I come back, your super chats and more, your phone call. Back in a moment. The hate news is coming now. Not the fake news, but the hate news. And I'll be back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.
There's a whole lot of mess going on in this here world. Am I right or am I right? This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Thursday, the 28th of May, AD 2026. Hang tight, callers. There's one line open. You can call in right now if you haven't already gotten on air. And if you're not already on hold, there is a line open. You can call in to get on hold, to get on air with JLP in the coming hours of this Bible Thumper Thursday. This there was a Trump accuser who is facing charges. E. Jean Carroll, the woman who thinks that most people think that R word is S word E. and other mess. Fresh strikes, and there's speculation about the president's health and all kinds of mess. Catch Punchy TV yesterday. It was live yesterday. It is up on YouTube and Rumble and other platforms on a video platform, and it will be up on audio podcast as well. Nice. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, reports that the Justice Department has launched a criminal investigation into accuser E. Jean Carroll, the former magazine columnist who accused President Trump of so-called sexual assault way back in, well, not that far ago, 2019. Supposedly she told a couple of girlfriends about it back from the 90s when it supposedly happened. The investigation focuses on whether E. Jean Carroll committed perjury in testimony related to her two civil lawsuits against the president. And there was one lawsuit where the jury said, oh, yeah, he probably did do something. What a mess, huh? Juries previously awarded E. Jean Carroll millions of dollars in so-called damages. President Trump is appealing those. Fresh strikes, a fragile ceasefire under threat after Iran and the United States traded new strikes earlier today, carried out just hours after President Trump vowed to seal a favorable deal to end the war amid fluid negotiations. We shall see what happens. President Trump declared everything checked out perfectly, all caps, in quotation marks, as a quote, after his annual physical exam this week. Allies are portraying the 79-year-old, soon to be 80 if he makes it to June 14th. He'll be 80. Pretty cool. Unusually energetic and sharp despite persistent scrutiny over his health. Even glowing assessments from his doctors have done little to quiet questions about President Trump's medical transparency and fitness. What a mess. Meanwhile, the media was awfully quiet about Biden, who was clearly off, or Hillary when she was quite off odd when she was running for office. Anyway, redistricting. Republicans are headed into the midterms with a significant advantage after aggressively reshaping House maps across the country because they had been misshapen by way of the Voting Rights Act and all kinds of dumb stuff, right? The GOP could finish this year's redistricting battle 10 seats ahead, which would be cool, making it far harder for Democrats to retake the chamber, even as President Trump's popularity hits new lows because people are falling for the anti-war, anti-Trump propaganda. Did you know that there was a cave rescue in Laos, if I'm pronouncing it correctly? The Laotians, L-A-O-S, specialist cave divers racing to rescue a group of villagers trapped in a flooded cave in a remote part of Laos. Pardon my butchering of the name if I am. Say they are cautiously optimistic that the stranded men could soon be brought back to safety. Five of these seven missing villagers were found alive Wednesday in a deep underground chamber, but high-stakes extraction lies ahead. Wow. Whew. And some people were brainwashed by a cult leader, supposedly. Three siblings grew up in a cult run by Tony Alamo, or Alamo, a notorious so-called false prophet. That's CNN's words, false prophet. Then an FBI raid thrust them into the real world. They're rebuilding their lives from so-called scratch. Supposedly enormously difficult. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour two.
had to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. It's Thursday, and you can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? Amazing question, especially for men and women who are working on themselves, overcoming evil with good. Has the Christ resurrected in you? It's not for everybody. It's not for those men and women who love evil. Men and women, boys and girls who love evil. And this I promise you, there are men and women out there who love evil. Look around. It's right in front of you. Right in front of your face. There are men and women who love evil. We showed you an example of the Matthew showing you these people, according to Matthew in a report, attacking him as evil. And people love it. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and doing whatever it is you're doing, and you just got to run around anywhere in the world, because we're here Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. And so, different time zone for different folks. If you got to run around, whether you're going to the gym or running or babysitting, or whatever it is you're doing, you can listen to the show on your phone. You can podcast and still listen to it as it is happening right in front of your face. On your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App is Thursday. And every Thursday, though we take all calls, every Thursday is Bible Bumper Thursday.
Oh, God. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I don't see on your face.
Are you ready? Are you
ready? Yeah. Oh. Bible Thumper Thursday. A spiritual battle, folks. Before I go to the calls and your super chats, this is a battle between good and evil. And it's never going to get better. but each individual can get better. You can lay your weapon down and walk away from the battlefield and be free. War is not the answer. Only love can conquer hate. And there's no love in the world, in families, in friendships, in strangerships, in colorships, in marriageships, in childrenships. No love. And it's mind-blowing. I want to give you an example, because in our country and around the world now, it's interesting, I counsel with, some of you know, I counsel with people around the world Monday through Friday, right? By phone, Skype, or walk-in. So if you want to enter into a family counseling, you can go to rebuildingtheman.com or call 800-411-BOND to make an appointment by phone, Skype, or walk-ins, or in-house, not walk-in, but in-house. And the devil does and say and work through every human being in the same way. Some situations may be a little different, but the devil, he knows everybody's language. And he makes you feel, think and feel, and carry out the same thing in everybody. And the solution to overcome. Because God knows your language too. You speak Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, Swahili, English, Mexican. God speaks the same language too. But it's interesting. No matter anywhere in the world where I'm counseling, Germany, down under, Australia, UK, or right down the road here in America, it's the same language. And the devil tell everybody the same thing, and they feel the same way, and they act it out in the same way, believing that it's them. All thoughts are all lies, all the time, about anything. And emotions are all lies, all the time, about anything, because emotions come from thoughts. You cannot have an emotion unless you have a thought first. Have you ever noticed that? And God, the Spirit of Truth, is not involved in thoughts and emotions at all. The so-called good ones or the bad ones has nothing to do with God. Isn't that amazing? God, the true God, is a dispassionate God. He is not an emotional God. He's neither angry or feel good. He's neither feel good or angry. That is your father, the devil. And the reason is your father, the devil, because you believe in it. You and the devil are one. You are the devil. You don't even know you're the devil, because the devil doesn't know he's the devil. What the? Until you overcome as an individual, and you can. But you got to be in the light. And the light have no relationship with darkness at all. Zero. The light doesn't even know darkness. Isn't that amazing? That's so deep, it made me want to grow another miracle. The light doesn't even know darkness at all. It doesn't even know it. That's why when you go into the light by leaving the darkness, there's no darkness. And you're like, what the? but you gotta leave the darkness of your imagination and emotions. You've been told that emotions are good. What would I do if I don't have my emotions? What would I do if I'm not angry? How will I live if I'm not resentful or vicious or gossipy or revengeful? Who will I be if I don't think, you say? I wanted to give you a couple, two examples of an act that literally has nothing to do with God. Zero. And that it is all evil. 100%. I'm about to show you one. And it's mind-blowing. What I'm about to show you, get ready, call everybody up, let them know that what I'm about to show you is pure evil. It is the nature of the devil. It has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with the light. It is all dark. And what a sad way to live, but I understand we're taught to do this and be this way. We've been taught wrong about life from the moment you pop out of your mama's womb. They teach you wrong about life. And then they send you to an expert. Experts teach you wrong. The preacher teaches you the wrong thing about life. The schools teach you wrong about life. Your experts, your psychiatrists and psychologists and lawyers and whomever, they teach you wrong about life. Wrong about life, and then you suffer for the rest of your life until you start to overcome it. Here's an example where God, love, the light is not involved at all. This is a perfect example of darkness. Even though there are other great examples of darkness, here's a perfect one. A video of an energetic, mostly white church service. Congress are dancing, clapping, hugging, and showing their faith through physical expression. According to a report, their faith. Watch this from X. White people. Jumping around for the Lord. That, and this I promise you, has nothing to do with God. That's misery. They're jumping around. They're crying. They're yelling, singing in misery. And then they go home and they cry. And they fight. And they're lonely. But they told, oh, we're dancing like David, they say. I don't know if these people said that, but whatever. Nick can tell me they're drunk in the spirit. Oh, are you?
That older fella at the end there, you see him stumbling around?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard they call that sometimes drunk in the spirit.
Of evil. If anything.
Stumbling like he was at a party.
That has nothing to do with God, folks. And then you go home and cry. And then you go judge yourself and your neighbor. Oh, the guy in the brown
shirt. Yeah,
this one. Derek, my producer, is like, is this a church or a concert? this is evil. This is not love. This has nothing to do with God. But we're all taught that it is. And each generation taught that, and they are still lost. Nothing gets better in the individual life or in the whole life. Here's another perfect example of evil. Perfect, disguised as good. Disguised as doing it for the Lord. But it has nothing to do with God. Another video of an energetic, according to a report, energetic, mostly black church service. The pastor leads and congregants raise their hands, move passionately, and several people fall to the floor in what appears to be a spiritual experience. Watch this from X.
This for your son, tuition. Okay.
Yeah,
man, that's the best catch all year. But you know why he had to catch you? To tell you about to get your license back. All right, let me get from up here because we're going too far. Yeah, just let her roll, baby. She.
Yeah,
you
roll,
know what?
Baby.
That's prophetic. You about to roll again.
Rolling,
that's
rolling,
prophetic.
Rolling. Rawhide. That has nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with God. It's not. It's all ego. It's all evil. Emotions are evil. Emotions come from darkness. So-called good ones and bad ones are from the darkness, not from the light. And at one time, we knew this and knew that in this country. But what happened is you listen to the woman. And every time you listen to the woman, you will suffer. And the woman says you should be emotional. Men, you should be emotional like a woman. Men are not allowed to express their emotion. That's hard on men, they say. And this is what you get. More evil. And those same people, they go home and cry at night. Those same people judge their enemies. Those same people judge themselves. And those same people do not love God. First and foremost, they have broken the first rule. The first law, which is of God, and God is the law. And they've broken the first law, is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And love your enemy. Love your neighbor. Pick up your cross and follow me, he says. That ain't happening. That's all evil right there. And their lives are not going to get better unless they start to work on themselves by forgiving. And especially starting with the mothers. All that stuff is just a lack of forgiveness. It's evil. Masquerading as good. Woe unto the man or the woman who call good evil and evil good. I would suggest do what you want. You can even give this a try. I wouldn't tempt the Lord, though. I wouldn't do all that. But be honest with yourself about your anger, your fears, your resentment, and see that it's wrong, and then forgive and see what happens. You're like, wow, Jesse, what the? You hear it all the time from men and women calling the show here, or our fellowship, or even the fallenstate.tv, those that does it. It's a spiritual battle, folks. And you've been deceived. I've been deceived. We've all been deceived by the spirits of evil, possessed by evil. And it ain't nobody's fault. As an adult, it's nobody's fault but yours if you don't overcome it. As children, our parents is to blame. But as an adult, you, and only you, are responsible for your own spiritual life. The husbands are not responsible for the wives' spiritual life. And the wives are not responsible for the husband's spiritual life. You, as an individual, got to travel this journey by yourself. You got to go back home to daddy alone. And by yourself. You can't take your husband with you, your wife, your children, anyone. But this is evil, what you're looking at in these churches like that. It has nothing to do with God. 888-77-53-773. Let me go to Peter out of California. Peter, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse. You hear me okay?
Hey, Peter.
Thanks for taking the call, Jesse.
Just wanted
to respond to the topic of discussion in the morning about Proverbs 22:6, leading a child in the right path.
Trained up a child the right way he should go, and even when he's old, he would not depart from it.
Yes. So that's actually a Bible verse that, you know, I've taken into account. So I have two kids, a teenage son and a little girl. And, you know, currently I feel like my teenage son has been extremely rebellious in a lot of the ways that he does, acting just like mom. And I'm learning now, definitely through the hard way, that I didn't step in as needed. And I don't know who said it on the show, but it's about fear of disciplining or sparing the rod. That's another verse that stuck to me because...
Peter, stay close to your phone because it's a static kind of thing. Go ahead.
Sorry, is this better?
Yes, stay with it.
Oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, basically sparing the rod on the child and meaning you don't love the child. So I can relate to that one the most because I've been observing myself and, you know, watching you for a few years now. I felt this fear whenever it came the opportunity to discipline my son. Something inside of me said, oh, just let him get away with it. It's okay. I think that's the gist of what the feelings, you know, were telling me or the thoughts. And, you know, letting that happen for so many years has resulted into now difficult to like disciplining him and, you know, trying to be hard on him in a sense. So, you know, I'm at a crossroads. He's 15 right now, turning 16 pretty soon. So there's still a few years where I have the opportunity to shift, but man, it's all within. It's nothing to do with my son. It's all within. You know, my father was very passive with me and extremely passive. Like I think he disciplined me once when I was a kid and that was about it. But, you know, I kind of got away with a lot of the things that I did. And now that now that I'm in the driver's seat being a dad, I'm not able to properly discipline my son because of these feelings within me of I don't know how to explain it other than guilt. I know these are thoughts and these are feelings, but this is just the way I can describe it. It's right. A feeling of guilt. Yeah. Like don't discipline him. It's okay. He doesn't know. He's a kid. And, you know, it wasn't until I had a really good friend of mine, you know, who's also, working on himself. And he told me like, dude, like you're too soft. Basically, he said you're too soft on him. Like, he's no longer a boy. He's a young man. You got to treat him in a different way. So my question to you is, what's the best? I don't even know how to say this question, but what's the healthy or the best way to discipline your son, especially when they're making decisions that are not good for them and everyone else around them? How do I do that without, you know, being... I don't know how I'd say, like, to going from like a loving father to like an extreme dictator. How do you go from that extreme without, you know, passing additional trauma at that age?
When you say going from a loving father to a dictator, when were you a loving father?
Good point. I was never one.
No, that was a question, not a point.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was never one. Now that I think about it, I don't think I was.
Right. He's 15, you say?
Yeah.
And you said that you were afraid to discipline him. What were you afraid of?
You know, that's a good question. I think the thoughts were telling me that if you, basically something along the lines of, if I'm too hard on him, he's going to hate me and resent me. So the thoughts told me, don't discipline him because the discipline will cause hate and resentment.
Oh, well, children hate parents who are too rough on them. And they also hate parents who are too soft, too nice, because, and the reason they hate it, because the parents that are too hard on them don't have love, and the parents that are too nice don't have love. And so they hate what the evil in the parents, and that made them evil, that made them worse as well, because now they're judging. And now that he's 15, I would recommend that, and you are working on yourself now, right?
Yes.
Have you forgiven your mother and all that?
Yes.
I would apologize to him for not disciplining him, raising him in the right way, and let him know that you do love him and that from this point forward, he got to drop his anger, forgive his mother, and forgive you for not protecting him from the mother and disciplining him. And let him know that if he get in trouble from this point forward, that you're not going to get him out at all. He's going to be stuck. If he go to jail, you're not bailing him out of jail. You're not going to put anything on the books. And he can't even call you collect. And that he got to drop his anger and so that he doesn't end up in trouble or acting in the wrong way. And when he do that with love, without judgment, and then the light will guide you into how to raise him, how to take him the rest of the way.
Yeah. That makes sense. Thank you. I had a similar conversation with him to that effect. But then the next question would be, okay, once I do that, then how do I handle when there is, you know, let's just say something basic, right? He's late for school. And, you know, the question is, why are you late for school? How do you discipline him, because, you know, teenagers are like, oh, well, the more you tell me not to do it, the more I'm going to do it.
Right, because they're now, they hate the parents, and now they're rebelling.
Right. So, yeah, go ahead.
And so, again, never assume or think about how you're going to deal with a situation until and if the situation happens. And now that you're walking in the light, you have love, the light will show you how to deal with that situation perfectly.
Yeah.
It really will show you. But if you get into your head about it and you become angry, you're not going to see how to deal with even simple situations like that in the right way. You're going to be uncertain, or you may overly react to it or something. But if you stay in the light will show you how to do it because you're walking in perfect love.
Yeah. Yeah, that all makes sense, Jesse. Thank you. And it's a wonderful thing, really, just going through this process because, you know, you've said it several times. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's so many layers. Like, I felt like, oh, man, all right, I'm good now. Like, the thoughts tell me, oh, you're good. You're a lot better. You forgave your mom. Everything's, you know, being, you know, rainbows everywhere. And then something else comes up that's even deeper, and then it's like a whole other, I guess, just something else I need to overcome. And I can feel that within me. And what I do with it is I just sit with it. I let it maybe not dwell. I don't know if that's the right word, but I just sit with it and I allow the pain to be there. And instead of like react, I can feel myself like, you know, like a dog trying to get out of a cage.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let me out. And I want to react. I want to explode. I want to do all these things, but I just let that simmer down. And this morning, you know, I allowed that to happen, and
Peter, can you
I
hold
turned on
for
your
me?
Show. And
can you hold?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hold yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Let me take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment.
Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer, you know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and His love. It's going to be amazing, man. Check out our merch. We have amazing merch. Mugs. And, well, first we have the coin, the silver coin, and a celebration of 250 years of America. A good investment. You can't go wrong investing in silver. And my face is on it. And then we have the coffee, Pudgy's coffee. Good. I have my own coffee, too. Isn't that amazing? My own coffee. And then we have books. My books are amazing. The scale book is not available in paperback right now because we got a reprint. But
you mean the antidote?
I mean the antidote. Not my bad. The antidote. But it is on Kindle. All right? It's on Kindle. And they're all amazing. And then we have the mugs and the T-shirts and the everything, hoodies, and the everything. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop, jesseleepeterson.shop, or rebuildingaman.com/stores, rebuildingaman.com/store. And every dime goes back into the organization, getting the work done here. So not only are you going to be all sharp in your merch, you're going to be helping in other ways, helping us to help others, all right? And then I do shout-outs, personal shout-outs, birthday shout-out, shout-out, wedding shout-out, encouragement shout-out, shout-out, congratulations shout-outs. Graduations are coming up. And you can even have a shout-out while your kids are fighting. Go to Cameo, C-A-M-E-O, for personal shout-outs. C-A-M-E-O.com, C-A-M-E-O.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Or shoutout.fans/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right? Shoutout.fans/Jesse Lee Peterson. Let me go quickly back to Peter out of California. And so, Peter, you're saying that you were telling me before the break that you do have these thoughts and feelings, but you're starting to watch them or watching them more and not giving in?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's why things are, I don't know, getting better now. And I say better because I'm not reacting to them like I used to. And I noticed the things come up and, you know, I'm recognizing more on what my mistakes are. And,
yes,
you know, and it's really difficult, you know, cause kind of the inverse of what we're talking about of Proverbs teaching your own children. It's interesting because, you know, these are chains that continue on and I'm trying to teach my child what I'm trying to overcome the trauma that my parents, you know, bestowed upon me. And that's the really difficult part because, you know, my parents put me on a certain path and I'm trying to get away from the path that is,
yes,
that was incorrect, right?
Yeah.
My dad taught me about going to church and all that good stuff. But then, you know, my dad was very passive. He wouldn't, you know, very indecisive with anything, you know, very, I mean, for lack of a better word, anxiety driven. You know, he just didn't really know how to handle challenges. And yeah. You know, while he was a man, he wasn't masculine, if you will, in the sense that he handled things in the healthy way. Very, he just walked away and brushed it under the rug, didn't really address anything. So now that's what I learned from him. And I thought that was normal. And of course, I know it's wrong, but trying to unlearn that is the most difficult thing, because I want to forget that, or at least overcome it. I don't know if I'm using the right words, but I want to forget it or overcome it and ensure that with my son, and then, you know, my daughter, when she gets to these years, I want to make sure that it's done with discipline through love, not a discipline of,
absolutely,
I don't know, anger and trauma, right? Because my wife's always going to overreact. She's always going to, you know, everything is a big deal for her. So it's not only addressing the children, but then her overreaction to things. I got to calm her down, or at least ignore her. Like, look, just leave it alone. I got this. That's basically what I'm trying to start doing.
So do you correct your wife in front of the children so they can see that you're protecting them from her?
I didn't before, but I've been doing that for the past few months, and she'll hate me in the moment, but I really don't care anymore.
That's right. And so
I just stopped caring.
Your wife is not working on herself to overcome evil?
She is. She definitely is. And but I think it's, I don't know if it's harder for women than men, because I'm able to recognize when I make a mistake and admit and you know, seek out counsel and overcome myself. But I think for women, the ability to just like stop, calm down, reflect in the moment, I just haven't seen it as consistent as it would be. Like, if I discipline my son, is different than I discipline my daughter. My daughter would give me a little fuss, but then she'll do it. But my son would, you know, give me a different type of fuss and he'll do something.
Your son has totally rejected you, and now he sees you the way his mother sees you.
Correct. Yep. I'm noticing that
he
now.
He sees you in the image of his mother. What a mess.
Yep.
So, like, how do you know your wife is working on herself? Why do you say she's working on herself?
I mean, because we've been to church several times. We've been going, attending you for years. So I know she's doing it. And I know that when we do have a conversation, there's openness and willingness to learn. And there's an opportunity for her to grow. So I see her working on herself.
Oh, okay.
But what I think is everything that's happening at home is a reflection of what's going on, not within my wife, but within me. Because I'm allowing these things to happen. The chaos is all within me. That's what I'm noticing, and I think that's what the ego does. It lets the enemy within become without, and then it resents it, and it just takes you deeper into destruction. And it is extremely wicked. Like, we almost think the devil is going to release the chokehold and let us breathe, but nah, he's squeezing on tight.
That's amazing. And so your wife is working on herself. She's forgiven her parents and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And when she get mad at you for correcting her in front of the children, how do you feel anything about it? Do you feel fear, or do you feel bad for her? Or
oh yeah, I'll feel pain within, and the pain. The best way I could describe it is that pain of like being a little kid and my mom getting mad at me. Like that, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like. Mama's spirit. You know, like, how dare you do the thing that annoyed me? That's the feeling that I feel. Obviously, she's not my mom, but the feeling comes within.
But she is your mother because you married your mother.
Yep.
Every man marry his mother, and then he become the boy, and she become the mother, and the cycle repeats itself generation after generation after generation until you do what you say you and your wife are doing. You start realize you're wrong and start working on yourself.
Yep. Yeah, and I really hope, Jesse, I really hope this, you know, the broken chains, and we break the chains now so our children can overcome this, so their kids could just live a peaceful life and just, you know, put God first among everything else.
And yeah, right on. So one other quick thing. So when your son was younger, you would just let him do what he want, thinking that somehow or another you're just going to be there for him and things are going to get better for him?
You know, believe it or not, Jesse, it changed when he started becoming a teenager. When he was a little boy, I was very disciplinary, but I wasn't doing it in the right way. I was very angry at the time. I would react. I would yell. That's how I was. And when he became a teenager, I felt this shift happen within me because, you know, he went from being a boy to a young man and, you know, he started developing and getting taller and attitudes changed and everything was different when he became a teenager. So when he changed, I felt something within me change. To go from, oh, wait, if you want him to stay close, you got to be nice. That's basically, if I could summarize it, when he grew up to a young man.
And you thought that in your mind, the devil is telling you, now that he's a young man, even though he may be getting in trouble, you still got to be nice to keep him close to you?
Correct. That's what the devil was telling me.
What a setup. Yes. That's amazing, man.
Yep. And it happened little by little. Like now that I'm aware of it, I could see when the voices come in now. I mean, I would love to say the voices are gone. I don't think they're ever going to leave, but I think it's my reaction to them or the way I respond to them rather of how I'm going to make the change because that's what happened to me. And it's small little whispers. I noticed the enemy used people around me to like push me into the direction and something changed within the last month within me that I'm like I woke up, like I was unconscious for so many years and I just woke up and I realized, wow, I've been doing this wrong. I need to change. And I go from something inside of me wants to judge me for letting it happen so long. And it's telling me, oh, it's too late. He's almost 18. Now I have a whole other set of voices in my head that I'm trying to sit with.
I understand that. But I really, really want to encourage you. Do what you want, of course. But I would just be firm and clear to my son. You know what? No more games, buddy. If you get in trouble, you're on your own. I'm not there for you. And you need to drop the anger. You got to work on yourself now. You're a young man. You'll be going out on your own soon because you'll be an adult pretty soon. And if you don't start right now taking responsibility for your anger and overcoming and all that, it's going to only get worse. And I'm not going to be there if you get in trouble. And that one thing alone kept me out of trouble growing up. They made it clear to me. And it was a thing, I guess, because I guess they showed the other children that too. Like nobody went to jail. Nobody stole and nobody did this. They made it clear that if you go out there and you get in trouble, you steal or you fight or you go to jail, I'm not getting you out of jail. I ain't coming to visit. I ain't putting no money on the book. You can't call me, collect. I'm done. And that fear itself, which didn't feel like an emotional fear, but I knew I was on my own. And as a result, I never did anything like that for sure.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to tell your children, I'm here for you. If you make a baby, you got to get married. Or whatever happens, it's on you and that gal and the baby.
Yep.
I'm not even getting involved in that. When I first started dating at 15, one of my worst fears, was if I were to have sex, and I did, that I was going to make a baby. And then in those days, we were told, you make a baby, you're having a shotgun wedding. Oh, you going to marry her. And her parents would say the same thing to her, and my parents would say that. And it prevented me from making a baby too early in life.
Yeah.
And that's why when I did make one at 18, I would come to California, get a job, get an apartment, and bring her out here. Because I told it in my head all my life that we have to be married if you make a baby. If you can't make the baby, if you can't take care of the baby, don't make the baby. And you got to be firm with your son now, but don't be angry.
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate that, Jesse, because I think that's the part within that I need to maybe address or just let God dwell within. I did something the other day. I was doing the silent prayer, and I just said, you know what, God, I'm giving this up. I'm tired of feeling this pain. I feel like the more I try to carry it, the worse it gets. And you said something the other day on your show, like every time you try to do something good, you never do anything good. Just give it up.
Yeah.
Let God do it. And I'm learning that now. You know, I'm surrendering my will to Him wholeheartedly, and I'm fed up of feeling this pain because nothing good has happened. So I'm just going to let God do His will and allow Him to work through me. That's what I've been feeling these past few days. And the fact that you were talking about Proverbs 22:6 today was just even more reassuring that God is trying to show something to me.
Yes, absolutely. And also, it's impossible. Impossible. That's what it is to me. Impossible. Yeah. It's impossible for anyone to do good. The more you try to do good, the worse you get. Human beings cannot do good. And you shouldn't even be trying to do good or bad, but you definitely can't do good.
Yeah.
But once you stop trying to do good, as you just said, very clear to me, is that, you know what, God, I can't do good. I want to be right. I want to do good, but I can't do it. I give up. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of being this way. I give up. And the moment you give up, everything starts to change.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, nothing. Go ahead.
Your wife, so you're afraid of your wife?
I'm not afraid of her, but I can feel this pain within me that, you know, mama's spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that feeling is what I fear. Not her. She's just another person.
Right.
It's something within me. I'm noticing 100% there's no such thing as an enemy outside of me. It's all within me. Because if you notice, like when this is something that, you know, talking about children, when children are little, they feel no fear. They're never afraid. They're never shy. They just are beings. They're just there. None of these negative feelings are there because they haven't been traumatized by the world yet.
Right.
So I'm noticing that these are just spirits that, latch onto us and they don't let go. And they find different ways within you. And they find, you know, traumas, addictions, evil spirits, quote unquote bad habits. It's all the spirit, and it's not it's amazing because the world tells us otherwise. I don't know. I'm just going through this big awakening right now, and God is using my son to allow me to see it. So now it's my duty to give back to Him. And the most painful thing is handling the pain within. I can handle my wife getting mad at me. It's nothing new, but the pain within is the hardest thing to deal with.
Right. Just relax. You know this, but relax in it. Don't call it you. Be aware of it.
Yep.
Be in it. Don't escape it. Don't deny it. Be in it, and it will be taken away.
Oh, yeah.
It really will, but you got to live with it. You got to sleep with it. You got to walk with it. You got to stay with it. And don't do anything about it. Go about your day without doing anything about it.
Yep.
And you gotta, so you don't follow your wife at all, right? I'm assuming.
Not, you know what? I'll be honest, Jesse. I used to, and that's what allowed this destruction to happen.
Yes.
But now that I'm waking up and, you know, every year, every day is something new. But not anymore. Now I'm disciplining and I'm like, no, this is how we're going to do things. You may not like it, but this is the right way we're going to do it.
Right on.
And it is what it is. And you know it's remarkable, Jesse. Like the way that I am now, and I'm waking up. Obviously, I feel bad. I don't say I feel bad for my son, but I wish I knew this 7 years ago, so he could have had a different upbringing. But now with my daughter, I'm very different with her. I respond to her differently. And anywhere I go, she wants to be with me. If I'm going to the hardware store, she wants to be with me nonstop. So it's amazing.
That's because children, male and female children, love their fathers, and they want to be with their father. But the mothers hate the fact that the children want to be with the fathers, and that evil in them would secretly do whatever it can to prevent that from happening.
Yep.
Amazing, huh?
It's a mess. It's a mess, but it's amazing.
What an amazing mess. But you stay with it, just stay with it, and tell your wife to just stay with it. And when that evil try to make her react, just don't react. Take the pain, and you're gonna see, man. The spirit or two will change it.
Yep. Yep, I'm noticing, Jesse. And it's a cross to carry, and the path to heaven looks like hell. So going through hell.
That's right. And for your son, let him know, I made a mistake by telling you I'm going to be there for you. Go ahead and do what you got to do with these little gals and do whatever you want. I'm there for you. Make sure you don't get in jail or whatever. Let him know and be clear. I'm not there for you. Not for those reasons at all. You're on your own, buddy. And make sure your mother make sure his mother is clear about that with him, too, that without being angry, we're not going to badge you up in trouble.
Yep. Will do, Jesse.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Amazing call. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate all you do.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Brady out of Arizona. Brady, you are on the air.
Hey, good morning, Jesse.
Hey, Brady.
Hey, I was wondering, you know, I don't know if you are against or for concealed carry or wearing your gun on your hip.
I am 100% Second Amendment. You should be able to wear your gun on your hip, on your back, in your car, in your home, in your at the restaurant, at church, at school, anywhere. Second Amendment.
Right on. What do you think about the pastors of our churches?
If you want to carry 8 guns on you, the Second Amendment allows that.
Yeah, because I've been listening to the guy that got his head stomped on and was, you know, in the supermarket for speaking up against the shoplifting.
Matthew from Pennsylvania.
Can I give Matthew a little bit of advice?
Yes.
If you're in the store and you're in a situation when they're robbing the store, a whole bunch of thugs run in, keep your mouth shut. If you're not wearing a gun,
but
don't ever act up. You know, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If you have a gun on your hip and they see you and you're holding your gun, then say something to them. But don't say anything. You're one guy against 20 people robbing a store. Use your head. Use your head, brother.
But even if you're in a store like that, you're a customer. You should just get quiet and get out of there anyway, because it's not your responsibility to do anything about what's happening in the store unless you're protecting yourself. And the store have insurance of their merchandise. They're covered and all that. That's when the clerk, the worker can hide or get out of the way, because the store owner going to get their stuff back. And you should put your life at risk.
A lot of times the clerks aren't even armed. I've been in Vegas 25, 30 years now. I've seen a lot of situations where robberies went down. And like I've always said, the only policeman or any sheriff that's going to come to your rescue at a time of need, you better have that right on your hip or in your pocket so you can pull it out. That is the gun. Okay. And that, unfortunately, this world is evil. And if you're not wearing a gun, you're just a sitting duck.
That's for sure. Brady, do you love the Jews?
I haven't gotten there yet, Jesse. I'm working on it.
All right. I appreciate you, Brady. Take care.
Right on, buddy.
All right. I got to take a break. The hate news is coming out, the fake news. When I come back, your super chats and more of your calls.
I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that, because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering, because it's important.
It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like a thousand. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
All kinds of mess going on in this here world. Am I right or am I right? King Arthur, there's a manuscript about King Arthur, a rare medieval manuscript, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, medieval, featuring early tales of King Arthur and Merlin, the wizard guy, I guess he was, I forget. They've been in private hands, it's been in private hands since about 700 years. It is heading to auction, and it may sell for like $2.7 million, something like that, $1 million, that is. And it has French, old French or something like that, and maybe some old English, or I don't know. Interesting. Pretty cool. Illuminated manuscript, by the way. It has pictures. Cool. Anyway, there is a, I'll skip that. I think I'll skip that too. All kinds of mess, and some of that mess I don't want to tell you about because it's just too messy. Blech. Anyway, there was a heat wave in London, I heard, but it's finally nearing an end, according to a gal from over there writing for AP, far left AP News. There is more extreme heat supposedly forecast worldwide in the future, so-called extreme. The UN warns the next 5 years could look even hotter. As if the UN knows, but maybe it does. Hey, we don't know. Anyway, Democrat members of Congress say that there are dire conditions in a federal immigration detention center in New Jersey. The Trump administration tells prosecutors to stand down on criminal investigations of Venezuela's acting president. That's Delcy, I believe, Rodriguez. She was the second in command. Can you believe it? A woman. Under Maduro, Nicolas Maduro, not to be confused with Nicolas, the host of American Anchor Baby show. It's a show and podcast live on the Jesse Lee Peterson Network. Different Nicolas. But yeah, Delcy, maybe there was a criminal investigation into her. And the Trump administration says calm down. Let her lead for the time being. We need a little bit of stability, I imagine, is what they're thinking is. But I don't know. Anyway, there was a recent West Coast couple of chemical emergencies in Washington State. You know, that implosion that you heard it on Bill's show, the engineer, host of Punchy TV, P-U-N-C-H-I-E TV, where it killed one. And I think a bunch of people were missing. And Bill said they're probably dead, too. Terrible. And that was like a paper factory or something. And then there was that scare at Garden Grove. They were thinking, oh, no, it's going to explode. And then there was a crack that you shouldn't have a crack. That's not good. But that was good in that it relieved pressure so that the explosion didn't happen over in Garden Grove. It's a suburb, if you will. Maybe I think it's this. I don't know. It's Garden Grove out down there south of L.A. And a little bit, you know, sort of. It might be O.C. almost. Might be Orange. I don't think it's Orange County. Anyway, raising questions on the safety of industrial tanks or the maintenance thereof or the manufacture thereof. I'm not sure how new or old those things were. There are some serious mess going on in this here world. Several Democrat or at least a few members of Congress visited Federal Immigration Detention Center in New Jersey amid reported hunger strike. If you're doing a hunger strike, you're not necessarily that hungry, are you? You're not, anyway, they said on Wednesday they observed dire conditions within Delaney Hall in Newark, New Jersey. D-E-L-A-N-E-Y. Protesters have been demonstrating for days, asserting that detainees are on a hunger strike. U.S. Representative Jerry Nadler, Fat Jerry, Trump used to call him, back before Trump was president, a Manhattan Democrat said detainees at the center are being given small portions of food that, quote unquote, very often, according to him, contain maggots. Maggots are little worm things that become ants are, oh, they've become house flies, I think. Ugh. And that only the only medication they receive is Tylenol. Terrible. Anyway, one woman found a lump on her, you know, where they get breast cancer type thing. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP Hour 3.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. How y'all? You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? What an amazing question. Has the Christ resurrected in you? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show, jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're running around doing whatever it is you're doing and you just got to run, but you would love to continue to listen to the show, you can. It's been made possible. He made it possible for the sun to shine. He made it possible that through him you have peace of mind. I got love and I got joy, but most of all, I got the Holy Ghost. I thank God. He made it possible. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's been made possible. You can listen to the show on your phone. If you're not able to just sit and watch it, you can podcast. And you can listen on your phone by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee, buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It is Thursday already, again. And I think it may be, if not the last day of May, let me see what day it is right now. May 28th. How many days in May? Nick?
There are 31.
Oh, okay, 31 days. 31 days, May. Okay. It is Thursday. It is Bible Thumper Thursday.
News for you, we're getting closer to his return, and the closer we get to him, the faster things are going to happen, the faster the healings, the faster the deliverance, the faster.
What a mess! A spiritual battle. And so, because of time, I have a quick question, two quick questions for my my experts. The experts on the JLP show. And I started with Hake in the first hour. I'll start with the Anchor Baby in this hour. What?
I said, thank God.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
It was too hard.
Apparently, the Pope is taking issues with the AI thing. I don't blame the Pope. The AI is not a real person. It's being programmed by other people. AI just don't wake up and have a life. Somebody is telling him what to say. The Time is reporting that Pope Leo has issued the first major theological text of his papacy. What is papacy? Everything is a C?
Like a presidency. Like a presidency.
What? A piece of paper, just a piece of paper. It has no C. Unless you write the word C on it, or the letter C. He's warning about the growing power of artificial intelligence and calling for stronger regulation of the technology. This is from KPIX. Here's what one thing that the Pope, I never understood why people need a Pope. What the? But that's a different story for a different day. Here's what the Pope had to say about the AI thing.
Pope Leo's issuing a warning about artificial intelligence. He warns that AI can make civilizations less human, hollow out the middle class, create mass unemployment, and concentrate wealth in the hands of the few. Our Ann Makovich spoke with a colleague of a professor from the South Bay who was invited by Pope Leo to speak about the relationship of artificial intelligence and religion.
The Vatican said Leo focused his first encyclical on AI because of its potential effects on human beings and on humanity as a whole, and the Church's concern for the dignity of every human being.
Artificial intelligence needs to be disarmed.
Also on the Pope's panel, Chris Ola, one of the co-founders of Anthropic, the San Francisco AI company that clashed with the Pentagon over its technology's use in the U.S. Department of Defense.
We need more of the world, religious communities, civil society, scholars, governments, and indeed all people of goodwill, to do what His Holiness has done here. We need moral voices that the incentives cannot bend.
Ain't nothing holy about the Pope. What the? And one tech expert believes while some tech companies might ignore the Pope, politicians will not. Why is this?
I see this one as the intersection of Silicon Valley and the church or the Vatican.
Ahmed Benafa is an engineer and tech expert at San Jose State. He believes that while some tech companies might ignore the Pope's statements, politicians will not.
It's really talking about not treating human as points of data or machine or objects, respecting their feeling, respecting their emotion, respecting their privacy, respecting their rights.
And he believes leaders worldwide will have motive to turn these points into AI regulations. Vice President J.D. Vance said the encyclical will be influential, but
the president wants us to be pro-innovation. He wants us to win the AI race against all other countries in the world.
Rabbi says the Pope isn't trying to hinder technological development.
He also wants to make sure that it's being developed with the common good in mind and for the sake of the flourishing of the whole human community and the entire created world.
Is this the same Pope where the president, the great white hope, told the Pope how the cow ate the cabbage. Didn't this the Pope that disagreed about the Iran or something like that?
Yep.
And the president told him how the cow ate the cabbage.
He did.
Righto, Mr. President. Why anybody need a Pope anyway? And the Pope is not holy. I can think of many things, but it ain't holy. Holy, holy, holy. Amazing. So, Nick, expert here on the show, what do you think about what the Pope said about the AI thing?
Well, I mean, I don't really necessarily have much to say or really any problem necessarily with the general thing he's saying. I mean, more people than just the Pope, and you don't really have to be a Pope to say something true or smart. But other people than the Pope have been bringing up the same concerns. People like Elon himself and others, concerns about AI and the guidelines that people working on this stuff should follow or at least should discuss. So, you know, he's being a conservative, and that is to just like preserve what we already have without changing it too fast.
Right.
I mean, he's just being a little conservative about it. You know, I have my own personal opinions. I don't, you know, one might think, well, AI is concentrating power a lot, and that's like the only thing that it's doing. But I also see it lowering the barrier to entry to a lot of things like information or other things that your average person may not be aware or even be able to do. And so that's actually like a dissemination of power.
Amazing.
So I see multiple things happening.
I don't know if this is true or not because Derek gave me this information, but he didn't say where he got it from, so it could be made up. I'm not sure. But he said that the Pope criticized Trump policy on AI, immigration, and foreign policy, while Trump called the Pope weak.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Weak on crime. That's from CNBC.
The Pope is weak on crime. I do remember him saying that.
What the? Sit down, Mr. Pope, and wear your little white robe and be quiet. So what do you say about what the Pope said about AI hate?
What did he say again about AI? I sometimes tune these people out.
You didn't listen right now?
Just I guess it wasn't quite even specific because he's just saying AI should.
To answer, I didn't listen.
Okay.
How do you want to be an expert? You didn't listen to the soundbite.
Because I'd read about what he said, and I'm like, it was sort of unremarkable. But Nick was just answering my question.
I was trying to. I mean, he was saying that we need to preserve the human dignity, that this will consolidate power into the few, that and some of those things. I'm trying to remember something else. It was very
Pope Leo won. AI could make civilization less human, according to KPIX. Less human, hollow out the middle class, create mass unemployment, and concentrate wealth in the hands of a few.
I think the Pope should be quiet. He's sort of, everybody wants to like meddle and be a control freak about every little new thing that crops up rather than waiting and seeing and just encouraging people to be self-controlled and pay attention and watch what they're doing. He said, I do remember he did say that you should slow down the progress. But that's dumb because that just means the bad guys are not going to slow down.
And this is the same Pope that support illegal aliens in the country?
Exactly.
I rest
He's
my
a
case.
Communist.
I rest
well,
my
I'm
case.
Saying communist. I use the term very loosely, okay?
Info but you support false. Illegal alien America isn't coming.
He's talking about the middle class and hollowing out the middle class. That's what communists are for, by the way. But that's a communist term, is middle class, this class stuff. And wealth in the hands of a few. Let the people get wealthier. And everybody will get wealthier, too. Like Anchor Baby said, I use AI all the time in order to give...
What a beta.
Alpha. In order, well, okay, fine. It's not alpha. But it may be beta, but at least I'm a little bit more knowledgeable in my beta-ness. I was able to fact check somebody who confused Steve Hilton with a different Steve Hilton and saying something about Jews. And so it's actually very handy.
Amazing.
So, I trust Elon Musk more than I trust the Pope, honestly. Yeah. And I don't really trust Elon Musk that much. But, yeah.
Amazing. One other quick question. This is Baba Thumper Thursday. And Revelation 2:10 says, Revelation 2:10, do not fear. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do not fear. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What does that mean?
I really like that.
You like it?
Yeah, but you didn't ask me if I liked it. You asked me what it means.
I asked you where you're going. You tell me where you've been.
I just had to outburst because my heart bursts with joy when I hear the word of God. But
Lord!
I'm looking at the verse. Can I read the verse again?
Yeah.
Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I like how it was truncated in your thing. Nice. What does it mean? You asked me what it means, right? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
How is it that you cannot have fear? When you said do not fear, that means don't do it. How is that possible? And what is be faithful until you death, until death? Mm-hmm. And he's going to give you a crown of life after you die.
Interesting.
What's all that mean?
Well, I'm thinking about their situation because he did say that these are people who are going to be thrown in prison and stuff like that.
I don't know where y'all get that one from.
That was from Revelation. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Word. Oh, but this was just condensed down or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think. And so I think that was John writing it, and it was like encouragement for the churches back in the early,
right,
like within the first 50 to 70 years, I think, since Jesus.
Let me ask this way.
Yeah.
What is the, how can you overcome fear?
This can apply to all of us, of course.
Right. Of course.
It's not just
it does apply to everyone.
Yeah.
How can you overcome? Because everybody and their mama have fear.
Yeah.
There's not one on the earth that don't have fear. Anyone that has anger, not only is an angry, resentful person evil, they have no love, but they totally have fear.
Yeah.
How can you overcome fear?
Well,
first of all, do you believe you can overcome fear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. In that.
And how?
Well, like you get thoughts of fears and doubts and things like that.
Yeah.
And you say you're commanded by God not to go with that. Which many places he says that you can not heed those thoughts of and doubts. And then most of us are going to have the feelings because they take hold of us, right? We like you say, we identify with ourselves. And so so in feeling those, don't even necessarily heed the feelings either, if you will. So not heeding the fear and that and not heeding the fear in the mind and body.
I don't know what you mean by heeding.
Heeding means...
speak normal.
Heeding is like normal. Heeding is like the best word.
Oh.
It's like the best word, I say.
What does not heeding mean?
It means not obeying them, not giving into it, doing whatever's right in spite of it.
Great word.
That's a great word.
Yeah, if you're heeding, you're not obeying, you're not listening necessarily to it.
So you overcome fear by not heeding?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Why are you looking silly?
Because I am silly. I mean, whatever.
Nick, how can you overcome? Is it possible to overcome fear? And if so, how?
I think so.
How?
I think so. And I mean, I was going to say something kind of like, hey, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I think I was just thinking about it. I mean, I think I really do know that there's no room for fear in love. There's no room for it. And I'm just thinking, even just logically, like when you deal with a scary situation, an evil person, something maybe even physical or something otherwise, but big, it's not even rational to respond to it in fear. So that even implies that there is a way to handle all that without a single drop of that fear.
And so how
and
do
so
you...
I don't really know how.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know how, but I really think I do know that there's no room. If there's love, there's no room for anything else. So.
But you don't know how to overcome it.
Maybe not exactly.
Oh, okay. Have you both, either one of you or both of you, noticed that anyone who is mad or has anger / resentment, and they're like, first of all, they're like evil and vicious and nasty and want to hurt you. But have you noticed that all angry people have fear?
So true.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Anyone who has anger has fear.
Yeah.
You notice that?
So true.
Have you noticed that, Hank?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you
believe... It's like one sparks the other.
And so do you believe that you can overcome anger? I mean, not even, but fear completely?
Yeah.
You can? You believe that's possible?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Anchor Baby, you believe that's possible?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, there's only one way that you can overcome fear. And you can. You're both right. But of yourself, you can't overcome it. And there's no other way out of fear but one way only. And you can't overcome, and listen closely to this, folks. You can overcome fear. There's only one way out of fear. There's no other way. There's only one way to overcome fear. And what is that way, Anchor Baby? There's no other way out of fear. Isn't that amazing?
Really?
Right.
Is this?
What?
It's really this? It's just this?
What?
Just forgiveness? Just letting it go? Oh.
Interesting. Yeah, you said that. So you're saying
it's
what?
Saying, and the answer is. So I'm like, wow, it's that one?
What?
That's
what
my head told me. What do you think, James?
Who told you that?
I knew the right answer.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
There's no other way on earth that you can overcome fear. There's only one way out of fear. And you say what?
Well, I had said forgiveness. I thought that's what you were getting at.
Okay. And you say?
Bearing up through it.
What?
Bearing up in it, through it. Only way out is through.
Right. There's only one way out of fear. Talk about a straight and narrow door. You got to be aware of it and do nothing about it. Fear has to become your companion. It has to be your companion. You got to live with it, sleep with it, eat with it, walk with it, drive with it, get up with it, and stay with it. You will overcome it, because the only way you're going to overcome it is you got to do that, and then you're being aware of it. And by being aware of the fears there, without judging, without calling it you or anything, the awareness, the light, will destroy the darkness, the fear. There's no other way. You can't deny you don't have fear. Because if you deny it by either trying to run away from it, grabbing a telephone or getting food or getting a drink or smoking pot or whatever, or getting mad at other people or yourself, you're never going to overcome fear. It's the awareness that the fear is there and live with it. You got to live with fear. And then the worse the fear is, the greater the fear, the sooner you will overcome it. So make your fear great. And shaking your boots. I was counseling with someone yesterday, and he was saying that he has this fear of dealing with people at work and asking people for IDs when they have to show IDs to get a product. He has the fear of doing that. I said to him, you got to live with it. Stay with it. Be aware. Don't call it you. Do you understand? That makes sense, isn't it? You got to live with fear.
I think so, yeah.
You got to do everything with the fear. Don't get rid of it. And the difference between a person that's aware of the fear, you are aware of the fear being there. Most people are not even aware that they have fear because they run away from it. They hide from it. And the fear is still there. I mean, huh?
Yeah.
You got to live with it.
Comforting a little.
What?
I mean, it might be a somewhat comforting because it may be something I might be doing at times. I see everybody else calling themselves strong sometimes. I'm like, what? I see this nature inside. It's weak. It's evil. It's weak. And I think I may understand a little.
You got to live with it. Ain't no other way out of it. And you can't overcome it. And not you, but the light will destroy it if you let it stay in the light by being aware. What do you think about that, Hank?
Nice. I like it. It's cool.
And then you will die from it, and then you will be crowned with the crown of life. Because it will be gone, and you will live. It doesn't mean you got to drop your body, be dead, like physically dead. Mm-hmm. But you will be crowned with life. Why you live? If you drop the fear. But you got to live with the fear. Can you live with fear?
I reckon.
Can you live with it?
It's like I want to say story of my life or something, right? But after hearing you say that, it makes me think, well, maybe I shouldn't feel that way about it. That's actually fine.
Yeah, because
and let everybody else call themselves strong.
Right.
Instead of me going, why is everybody else strong and I'm not?
Yeah, do not compare yourself to
I want to say story of my life, Jesse. I live in fear every day. What are you talking about?
Although you could call that not living.
What?
When you're kind of hiding from life.
You're not living. You're dead.
From in fear.
You call it life death. You call it that death life, and it's death. It's not life.
I mean inside.
Huh?
I mean inside, but...
You got to live with the fear. It got to become your number one companion.
I just mean if it's holding you back from stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Fear is pure evil.
Indeed.
An angry person. The next time you even speak to an angry person, a person that's mad, watch how they communicate. Watch how they throw out little words to try to hurt you. Watch how they do, because they're in fear. They have anger. They have no love. Satan is their God. Because they have fear, they're running from the fear, running right into the fear. Amazing, huh? Amazing. Let me go to the first-time caller out of Belgium. David, a first-time caller out of Belgium. David, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse. Nice to talk to you.
You too, David. Amazing.
Yes. First-time caller, but long-time listener.
Around the world.
Yes.
What time is it in Belgium right now?
It's 5:28 p.m.
That's amazing. Go ahead.
Yes. So I know that you are reverent and you also don't believe in the Trinity. And actually, I cannot convince myself of the Trinity based on what I read in text, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, for example, when we read the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is pleading to the Father, saying, please, let this cup pass from me, although if it is thy will, then okay, we will do it. And he's even sweating blood, I mean, out of sheer terror. So to me, these things, they illustrate clearly that the concept of the Trinity as presented by Trinitarians, it cannot be true. I mean, they present it as a perfect unity between the Father and the Son.
David, hold on. Yes. Let me take a quick break, all right? Hold on for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I got to take a break. The treasure... The Stretch Off is open on fuel.net. Back in a moment. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autograph copy, or call 800-411-BOND and donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
Sometimes life can be tough.
Amazing. Welcome back. Rundown. The Hake Report is coming up. The Hake, the white man with the good hair, he white. He ain't afraid of no ghost. The Hake Report from 9 to 11 a.m. at the top of this hour. And then the American Anchor Baby. Energy everywhere from God. You think Trump has energy? And he does. He gave the rest to the anchor baby. I think, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. As Hake would say in the when he opened his show, don't take my word at anything. What do you say? All the disclaimers.
I say info may be false.
Oh, yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt. Take everything with a grain of salt.
But I believe the anchor baby is going to be the next president with all that energy. But info may be wrong, may be false, as the Hake Report say. But the American anchor baby from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And then after that, you need to podcast Punchy. .tv with Billy Punchy, P-U-N-C-H-I-E, a brand new episode up there, and it was interesting. It was Bill all the way. Punchy.tv. All right, and then after that, a brand new episode of the FallenState.tv. I had a talk with Dr. Shay on. Shayon, he's an evangelical pastor, and he's running for governor of California. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
So you're running for governor of California.
Yes, the Democratic Party has taken God out. Here I'm a pastor in California, and when I decided to support Trump, people walked out on my sermon. And they're all women.
Oh, of course.
They're all going for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I ended up suing Governor Newsom for locking down the church. He had abortion clinics open, marijuana dispensaries, and liquor stores. This is in the United States.
United States of America.
This is not China.
That's right. You are going to love this episode of The Fallen State. I enjoyed talking to him. It was amazing. It was more than a notion. It was more than amazing. It was more than wonderful. It was mind-blowing. And you can support the Father State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or locals.com, JesseLeePeterson.locals.com. You can become a member there as well. I want to go, oh, David dropped out of Belgium. Call me back, David, all the way from Belgium. Let me do some super chats. I haven't done super chats in a phone call.
Super. Sweet. Over on Rumble yesterday, G. Fontes. I missed this one. I live in Florida, bordering a black neighborhood in the county, having the highest population density of all of Florida, and he's full of it. And I had missed this one, and I'm not sure who he is.
Right. Well, I thank you for your support. I wish you well. Don't be angry. Forgive and move on with your life. What a mess. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you, G. Fontes.
Yeah.
Mario, does Punchy's Coffee offer a decaf blend?
And you say?
No, not at this time.
No, not at this time, but a good suggestion. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mario.
We'll look into that.
Jack B., double exclamation mark on Cash App.
Thank you, Mike B.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike B.
No, Jack B.
I mean, Jack B. Thank you.
That's right.
I appreciate your support, Jack.
That's Bond JLP on Cash App.
This is the house that Jack built, y'all.
Leo, amazing. Leo Tolstoy said, according to Luis49PR, history would be a wonderful thing if it were only true.
What a wonderful world this would be. Amazing. Thank you.
And then Jesse's friend says, Pastor Lockwood doesn't need little Marco to tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. I can tell him. He can speak his excellent knowledge about the Bible. But when I hear him talking about how the U.S. should conduct foreign policy, I wonder if we should scrutinize his excellent Bible teaching, too. I don't think so, but saying that, I believe the U.S. has been between a rock and a hard place. True. We have been involved around the world decades and centuries. Iran, China wants to take over the world, and it is not like Iran has not been helping to attack the U.S. and other nations big time in many ways. Iran hates the Western way of living, and they aim to expand their Sharia law to the world. China has also expanded their influence and want to conquer the world. If the U.S. does not protect the Western world from this influence, the U.S. will change from the inside out and cease to exist, and our Constitution will fail. China will be the influence. We will lose more of our freedoms if it had already started. The wars of the world will be against Iran and China after they take over the influence of the world. It is dangerous if we just let the world be. Look at the influence that the rest of the world has on us already. This is not the same America I was proud of 50 years ago, getting weaker, a lot less Christian of a Christian nation because of China, Iran, and even Russian influence.
Oh, that's a response to Bill Lockwood on the show yesterday. Amazing response. I've not heard such logic about this whole situation. Right on. That's deep. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse's friend.
Yeah.
Bree, five coffees. Bree K, that is. Good morning, Jesse. Hope you and the crew have a wonderful Thursday. Hake, good morning. I wasn't able to watch all of Tuesday's episode till last night. Thank you so much for going back and reading my coffees. You're the man. Strong arm. Notice the strong arm. salute and flag.
Affirmative. Thank you very much. Amazing.
Lin Yen Chen advises me, Lord Goodhair, not to read his first super chat. He's just explaining how to read the second super chat.
Okay.
Lin Yen Chen says, intellect is the opposite of common sense.
You can say that again. All intellectual people are crazy.
He says it is pure memory posing as sense.
That's for sure. Amen.
He says, see why hallucination rules intellectuals and AI? I do, sir.
Right on.
Yeah, that's why I said AI is just like people in that it hallucinates, it lies.
But AI made from people.
Right. So it's just like
AI doesn't have its own voice.
Made in our image.
Right. What the?
And then Ilin Yenshin says, all they know, intellectuals and AI, is overreaction because they lack common sense.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ilin Yenshin.
That's amazing. That's deep.
Indiana Bass, Would you all consider playing the national anthem at the close of each show during July? USA flag. July just feels red, white, and blue.
July is White History Month, and we'll celebrate it if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. 9 years of White History Month. They celebrate everything but White History Month. They celebrate Mexican this and Black people this and Japanese this and that and food and women history and Black everything but white in the white man's own country. It's like he doesn't even exist. So we're celebrating 9 years of White History Month come July. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for the request, the national anthem. Lin Yanchen responding to the young man who was battered, not beaten, in Pittsburgh, PA, outside the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
The caller.
Matthew.
Only four of them? They are so tiny, too. The caller has a low power level. Why is he so weak? He needs to learn my four-stroke progressive overload circuit.
And when it sounds like he was really trying to look out for himself because he's white and he was dealing with some Black people, and he knew that he would get in trouble if he defended himself with these people. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but do you get that impression?
I don't get the impression that he allowed himself to be beaten or battered, just because if he were too strong with them, he would get in trouble.
He wasn't saying that in that way. Amazing, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Lin Yanchen says, Sparkle Blouse, that's Anchor Baby, Nick, is right. As a super predator myself, meaning part Black, I am constantly scanning the environment for rival super predators and moments to defend the weak, says Lin Yanchen.
Amazing. Thank you.
Level up. Question, are you open to signing the authenticity certificates? They won't get more authentic than that. Love you all. JLP for president.
Yeah, I will sign them, absolutely. For the civil goal. I mean the civil, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
ADHD seven. Are you sure?
Well, I know I have to sign some for the silver that we're selling.
Okay, but I thought it was only select ones.
Right, select ones, not all of them.
Yeah, not all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that's what they're referring to, though.
I think it had to do with the coin.
Right.
Right, but I don't know if where they're shipped from, if it goes through us.
Right. Me either. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Anyway, ADHD777, I'm sorry, but the caller who got beat, the caller says he did not get beat.
Right.
Called them terrorists, you know, teen terror.
They are terror.
And then he says he wants them to write an essay or cook a meal as punishment? What? Triple question mark.
Oh, amazing.
Is that how you punish terrorists? Make them learn?
Make them learn to cook.
John Z, no message.
Thank you,
ADHD, by the way.
Thank you.
Marcus G59, thank God I left the church, Jesse. The truth and yourself revealed that to me. Plus, I saw how many people that work for the church were hypocrites and wanted control. Mess. 100.
Religion is socialism. It is all about control. That's all it is. It's about control. It's just like the government. The government is all about control, and so is religion. Amazing. And that's the truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus G.
Yeah.
Jermaine, Gospel of Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, give your children what is good, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
I rest my case. I got to stop there. I want to get to David. David calling back from Belgium.
We'll read the rest of these later, y'all. Thank you kindly.
Thank you all. I don't want David is calling all the way from Belgium. I don't want to hold him up in there. David!
Hello, Jesse. Sorry I lost you there.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the introduction is just that I know your position on the Trinity, and it aligns with my understanding of it.
Okay.
And I have the following question for you.
Okay.
So what do you personally think is the reason that the vast majority of all the
Come back to your phone. Come closer to your phone, David.
Yeah, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now, yes.
Yeah, all right. So my question is, what do you believe personally that is the reason that the vast majority of all priests, reverends, academics, and so on aggressively affirm the Trinity, and it's like you are not even allowed to question it, even though they write volumes and volumes questioning other doctrines? What do you believe is the reason for that?
Because they're group thinkers, and somebody told them that at some point in their lives, and they believed it. And so they're just repeating what someone else said. And even though there's nowhere where Christ had a quote-unquote doctrine of the Trinity, there's no mention of Trinity anywhere in the Bible. And so they're not individual thinkers, they're group thinkers. And they're just repeating what someone else said.
And what does that mean for us when we are looking for a church or a congregation to join? You may come to the conclusion that there isn't any, or should you just ignore the Trinity part and attend a congregation anyway?
You should live from within so you can be taught from within by the truth. And you would know the truth. And so if you do go to one of those churches that is teaching a lie, they still may read something else from the Bible, say something that would make sense to you. But you got to live from within. You got to be taught from within and let no man teach you, but let the Holy Spirit, he would teach you all things. But you got to live from within so that they happen. And so if you want to go to church, we have amazing church. Even in Belgium, you can be a part of our fellowship by going to rebuildingaman.com/church. But you're not going to find the truth in religion. It's not there. God has no part, or Christ has nothing to do with religion. Religion is just an intellectual. It's like going to a secular school or something.
Maybe a final follow-up question to that, because if we look within, that's going to be also limited in the sense of that we may have our own biases, like people who believe the earth is flat and so on. I'm reading the Bible a lot. I say, okay, the Bible is very clear. I mean, how Jesus, when he's sweating blood, he's stressing out, he's trying to get out of this situation of getting crucified. That is clearly not God doing it to himself.
Right.
So how can these super intelligent scholars and so on think something completely else? I'm thinking maybe I'm a flat earther, but in the Bible version, you know? So,
yeah,
but,
because intellectual people are dumb and they cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven until they think they're smart, but they have to be made dumb in order to enter within and know the truth. Otherwise, Satan is their intellectual leader, and they don't know it. They think that they are making those decisions, and they are not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just wish them well, and you live from within, and let them live from without, and because that's the life that they want, and God let anyone live the way that they want to live. He doesn't judge them. He doesn't try to change them. He only changed those who asked for change. Those who called it this morning who said that he was just tired of living that way. He's tired of living in fear. He's tired of being afraid of this or that. And so he's now going to overcome it because God will cause it to happen.
One very small thing is also important, because then I also considered maybe the Jehovah Witnesses are, if I would join a church, maybe it should be the Jehovah Witnesses, because they're basically Christians who don't believe in the Trinity.
I know, but they're so mean. The Jehovah Witnesses are a mess.
Could be, but I don't know. I haven't tried.
But if you don't, I mean, you can look for a church if you want, but just look around and you may find one that can kind of, I don't know, but just live from within. You'll be fine.
All right. So you wouldn't advise against the Jehovah Witnesses either?
I wouldn't recommend them either.
All right.
because okay. of, all right, but just say you live from within and you'll be fine.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, man. Call me again, David.
All right, will do. All right. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. Right.
You too. Bye now. Let me go to Sean out of Florida. Sean, you are on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Sean.
How you doing? I can't turn off the speaker because it's not, my volume is not working properly.
Okay, right now you sound fine.
Okay. This I want to add a lot of things.
Hey, Uda.
Happening. Hey, yeah, you remember me.
I remember my Aunt Uda.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things have happened since I've talked to you.
Okay.
In the world and in our country. And, of course, we know that involves the political things that people, that we've always been used to, like the voting, how we vote,
yes.
the Democrats, Republicans, and stuff like that. But, of course, we're seeing a different pattern here where the people, the voice of the people kind of is, I'd say it's kind of, we could say maybe drowned out.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Wars and rumors of wars happening now. And it's more evident at ethnos against ethnos, meaning ethnicity against ethnicity.
Okay.
It's more clarity. And that's what the Bible said was going to happen in the last day, like as in the days of Noah. That's what it said. Like, and I wanted to know your opinion, your perspective, your thought on this about, do you think it's going back to how it was? You know, like the conventional way of they still boosted up in the media, like the regular way of voting and everything. But do you think it's going to go back? We've got a food shortage coming on, crisis, and people are really thinking that things are going to go back to their wishful thinking. My opinion is it's not going back. It's, you know, and I have a reason to think that, and
you
I want to know.
It's not going back to Revelation?
It's not going back to how things work.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like,
but what happened is, Sean, the Revelation, I mean, the Old Testament is alive and well, and it is happening,
okay.
But it's happening outside of you. But Christ has completed the whole thing. It's done. And the new life and the new kingdom and the new way of living is inside of you, inside of each individual. And those who enter into that kingdom, they won't have to endure the Old Testament, which is happening inside of people. They're putting that outside on the earth. That's, they're mean and nasty to one another, homeless people, drug addicts, all kinds of things. That is the Old Testament. It's still alive and well, but the new way of living has been done and finished. It's inside of you. You got to live from within, and you will be walking with God, and you will live in the kingdom, and you won't be affected by anything that's happening out there in the world inside of other people.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's going to be you haven't seen anything yet, Sean. It's going to get worse because the earth is not heaven and human beings are not God.
Right. Because I do believe it's going to get worse. Because
yes.
in Revelation, he already tells you it's going to be just like helping people understand it, like giving like a woman that's pregnant in labor and her like how her, you know, cramps. You don't
yes.
say that, but like she's coming to her labor time, and these changes that we see in the world are going to be just like that until Jesus comes again. And the birth is coming, it's coming, and then the labor pains are getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Are you living from within right now?
Well, I'm trying to.
Yeah. Live from within, do the silent prayer. And stay away from those thoughts. Be aware of them so that you can become an individual. You and God will become one. And you will, without even thinking about it, you will not be affected by the economy. You will not be affected by words. You will not be affected by the things you hear and see. you will have perfect peace in spite of everything that's going on around you.
Oh, yeah. And I know and I believe that in his word and his spirit, in him, not in myself.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. You
know, but with all the pestilence, diseases, that's coming. He did say it won't touch you. If it won't come to your door.
Sean, I gotta run because call me again. Don't be staying away so long.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Amazing. Super chat.
Over on buymeacoffee.com. Actually, YouTube.com, John Z with no message.
Thank you, John Z. Amazing.
Thank you again, Marcus. Pardon me, I'm a little lost. Michael.
I'm a little lost and I need you now. Baby, I need you now.
Ang Ban Art says, I'd love to see another talk with Dennis Prager.
Right on.
Yeah.
We'll try to make that possible. I know that he's doing some interviews now. So, okay, thank you.
Walking Roscoe, shout out to Bond and the best chat this side of heaven. One question, what does the Great White Hope have to say on this fine day?
Shout out. Let me see if I have time to get it.
We are going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
Amazing. Thank you. Nice.
And where would we be without white people, asks Carl B.
I rest my case. In pure hell. Amazing. Thank you.
Very nice. And thank you, guys. I could be mistaken, but I believe. Let me just double check. Oh, Pastor Chatelet. Release that scratching stuff.
What?
Well, the scratching is a reference to the scratch-offs, and that's over on pilled.net.
Amazing. Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys. Now I think that's all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. Wow, I'm so out of time. Marilyn out of Florida. Barbara out of Michigan. And the calls that are dropped, I'm out of time. Tomorrow's Open Line Friday. The Hake Report is coming now. Then the American Anchor Baby. Check out punchy.tv, all right? And do the silent prayer. Drop the anger, folks. You will create it. To be of love, not human love, but God's love. And he's trying to do that through you, but you won't let it with the anger or resentment. Drop the anger. I gotta go. Thank you for your support, your super chats and your donations and all that, all right? Hake is coming now. Tomorrow's Open Life Friday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Take care.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name in all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
You can't run from evil within yourself or outside of self. You got to deal with it, and you need good in order to deal with evil. And God is good. You need to return to the Father, and you'll see within you, he will fight the battle for you. And he will fight it without, because he will show you how to deal with it. and you will have no fear. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, along with nothing else. Nothing else means yourself, your children, your wife, your things, your ego, your reputation, and all that. You can't care about any of that. The children of anger will use it to control you. But if you love God, He will renew your mind, and none of those things will be before Him. And so when they go after you, oh, well, you may take my body, you may take my things, but you're not going to take my soul. And that's a true reality.